Hello, Greg. Dennis here. This is the 7th of July today, and on this tape I want to cover, I hope to be able to cover three rather important loose ends. The first might be called Bubbles Revisited, and for this I'm grateful to you, Greg, for drawing my attention to something on a recent telephone call, and which allowed me to look into the subject of bubbles again and come up with some more material which correlates bubbles with an important aspect of the mind. For many times during his research in the 1950s, Ron Hubbard came up with some related phenomena to the bubble, and the first of this was his mention in the 1950s of the personality called the Merchant of Fear, and this was a rather depraved being that and the main characteristic of this depraved being was that a person that you would meet, you know, who was dramatizing this, and the main characteristic was that this person seemed to sort of suck you dry emotionally, acted sort of like an emotional sponge, and you would talk to this person for a while and feel emotionally depleted, quite exhausted emotionally. He just mentioned it, Ron did, and then went on to other things. Then later on in the 1950s, he did some more work on this and came up with the phenomena of what he called the energy thief. Now, the energy thief phenomena was a related phenomena, and it's obviously the same phenomena as the Merchant of Fear, is a person that, again, emotionally sucks you dry in conversation, and tears your happiness to shreds. I was present when he lectured on this subject, and it was quite a very, very good lecture he gave on the subject. Again, there the matter rested, and then late in the 1950s, he came up with the phenomena of the vacuum, which he researched some more, and he discovered that the vacuum had this peculiar property of sort of slurping in energy. And again, if a person was dramatizing this, they would show the characteristics of the energy thief and the Merchant of Fear. And this was the phenomenon of the vacuum from the whole track, and it gets into a stimulation in present time, and the person would be dramatizing this, would be sitting in the vacuum, and acting as an energy vacuum. I think what triggered his researches along this line from time to time, it was quite obvious that it kept cropping up in Ron's research, and he never resolved it, and he kept adding bits to it as the years went along, and we see a progression from the Merchant of Fear through the energy thief to the vacuum. It obviously kept cropping up on the subject of happiness, because Ron had a happiness process of mocking up masses and pulling them in on yourself. Well, that would tend to stimulate the vacuum effect, and you would get these masses flying in at times, and I used to call them avalanches, and I think although I can't be certain of this, I think the phenomena there came from the work he did on that havingness technique of mocking up masses and pulling them in. It would certainly stimulate the vacuum. Anyway, whatever the source was of his research, it culminated, as far as I know, in the late 50s, there with the phenomena of the vacuum. Now, another name for the vacuum was the black hole in space. This was another name for the vacuum, was the black hole in space, and it was an energy slurp. It would simply slurp energy from the being. He would put energy out towards this thing, and it would simply gobble up his energy, and again it would drain him dry emotionally, and he would feel quite exhausted and his happiness would get shot. And there was the phenomena of the vacuum, and so forth, and the various other names. So we have all these little phenomena. So we just go through them again: the Merchant of Fear, the Energy Thief, the Vacuum, and the Black Hole in Space. Now, I've come across these phenomena in auditing preclears, particularly the Black Hole in Space. And it's a very, very nasty phenomenon if you ever come across it. If a person does have it in receiver or hits it on the track, it can be very, very nasty indeed. It throws the e-meter violently about the place and throws the pre-clear emotionally about the place too. It's a very, very nasty incident and produced an enormous amount of fear of the objects, of the black hole. Simply because it's slurping the person's energy, and they don't go near it. They feel otherwise they'll get lost into the black hole, They'll vanish. They feel they'll lose their completely lose their identity by being slurped into the black hole. All right, now so much for Ron's research along those lines. I mean, he did a lot more work on this, and there's much more. I've just given you a resume here. If you want to hear his actual lectures, you would have to pick them up himself. Pick him up and listen to them. He gives a lot more material than I've given here on this brief resume, but I've given you the essence of the material. Now, we know from we know from my research that there is this phenomena of the bubble, that when a mustn't be known postulate is parked in the void, and if you come along and direct a no postulate, this mustn't be known postulate, that a bubble of energy will appear around the mustn't be known postulate, and you will get the phenomena of the bubble. And we know that these bubbles do occur. There was a period of the track where these occurred, and we have a technique for getting rid of the bubble. The bubble is the manifestation of something from nothing, of getting energy coming into existence from a non-existence, something from nothing. And I developed the null to no goals package, the handle, the bubble, and erased the bubbles. All of this I've given you on the previous lecture on the subject of the bubbles. So far, so good. But the one thing which I didn't give you was that all I've given you was what happens if you direct a no postulate at the bubble. But then again, what would happen if you were to direct a must-be-known postulate at the bubble? Well, now, I should have mentioned this on my last tape. The reason why I didn't mention it on my last tape is a very interesting reason. That the bubble phenomena on my track, at no point on my track did I ever do that. Did I ever direct a must-be-known postulate at a bubble? I only ever directed a no postulate at a bubble, and so I had no subjective data of what would happen if you were to direct a must be known postulate at the bubble. Well, I tell you what happens if you of course it's obvious from basics what would happen if you were to direct a must be known postulate at the bubble. What's going to happen is that the energy that you direct at the bubble, it's going to go towards the bubble, or towards, which is essentially is a mustn't be known postulate sitting in the void. And as soon as it gets under the influence of the mustn't be known postulate, it's going to go black and start to disappear. So you're sitting there, you're directing energy towards this bubble, and your energy is going into the bubble and disappearing. It's vanishing, you see. That's the effect that you're getting. You don't know what's in the bubble. You see, all you know is that you're directing energy at the bubble, and your energy's disappearing, going into the being hitting the mustn't be known postulate, and is going black and vanishing. You must realise that a mustn't be known postulate is an unblocking postulate. I mean, if you put a powerful enough mustn't be known postulate into an energy mass, the energy mass will simply vanish. It's the non-existence postulate that mustn't be known. It's the non-existence. It's the way you unblock things. You see, so you've got a powerful mustn't be known postulate sitting in the void, and you direct a mustn't
it must be known, possibly, that it, you're going to get the feel, you're going to feel yourself being sucked dry. That's the effect there. But as long as you keep directing must be known postulates at it, you're going to lose your energy all the time, because it's going to keep disappearing under the influence of this powerful mustn't be known postulate sitting in the void. And so you get the effect of the phenomena that Ron Hubbard was mentioning there in his research. Now, the interesting thing is I never correlated Ron Hubbard, I knew of his research, of course, but I never correlated it with the bubble phenomena, simply because on my own track, I'd never done this thing. I'd never directed a must-be-known poster as the bubble. I had to do it in present time, create the bubble, put the poster in the bubble, and direct the must-be-known poster at the bubble, and immediately got the connection straight away between the vacuums, the merchant of fear, the energy thief, and the black hole in space. The whole thing just fell immediately into place, because there was the exact phenomena that Ron Hubbard reported in the late 50s. So we now know that one of the manifestations in present time, we can add to our knowledge of the bubble, we can take this material from Ron Hubbard there, that a person inside the bubble, dramatizing the universe of the bubble, will give all the manifestations of the black hole in space, the mustn't be known postulate. In other words, you'd almost certainly, this person would almost certainly have a black field. And they would, when you talk to them, they would tend to emotionally dry you out. You would feel you're having this getting shot in their presence. This is the energy thief. Also the degradation there, the loss of havingness, of course, leads to a feeling of degradation. And the person who's collapsed into the bubble would, of course, be degraded. And we get this phenomenon of the degraded being in the bubble, the phenomenon of the merchant of fear. So all the ends tie up now there. This is what would happen if your person was to approach a mustn't-be-known postulate sitting in space and direct a must-be-known postulate at it. They could get overwhelmed by the mustn't-be-known postulate. They'd lose all their energy to it, and they'd finally succumb to it and sink into the mustn't-be-known postulate. And they could be dramatizing this in present time. They could be dramatizing it. And they could actually be a bubble personality. They would become what we would call a bubble personality. I think that's a better name than energy thief or merchant of fear. It's a bubble personality. They show the manifestation of no substance. Their personality is all airy-fairy, no substance. There's nothing there. Every time you try and pin them down, there's nothing there. And all the time there's this uncomfortable feeling that you're in the presence of nothing, and you can't, there's nothing there. No, there isn't anything there. They're sitting in the middle of a bubble, and the essence of the bubble is that there's nothing there. And all of us have no doubt met this type of personality. I've met this type of personality. As soon as Ron Hubbard mentioned the phenomena back in the 50s, I recognised the personality, and I also recognised it from auditing pre-clears, because the phenomena had shown up in auditing on the whole track. But I hadn't recognised what it was. Many auditors had spotted it, but they hadn't recognised what it was. But as soon as Ron clarified it, we all knew what it was there. So there is the tying up all the loose ends now on the subject of the bubble. You can expect that some personalities will be inside the bubble, and they will manifest they will be an energy thief, and you'll find your happiness get depleted. They will tend to be a bit degraded as a personality, and so on, and also you can expect to feel the bubble personality. You come across this personality in everyday life. There's a sort of a lack of substance to them. They're airy fairy. There's no depth to them. There's and you would also experience the manifestation of loss of energy. So that wraps the ends up there, Greg. That wraps up the whole subject. Now we can tie up the subject of the bubble now completely. There you get the phenomena of the bubble itself forming around the mustn't be known postulate is a characteristic of directing a no postulate at it. If you don't direct a no postulate at it, you won't see much of a bubble. If you direct a must be known postulate at a mustn't be known postulate, no bubble will form. You'll just get the energy slurp. You'll just lose the mass that you direct at the bubble. Tend to be unmocked by the mustn't be known postulate. So there's nothing fearful about this. The correct thing to do if you come across something which is slurping your energy, well, simply realise what it is. That it's a mustn't be known postulate, and simply duplicate it. It's okay, it's a mustn't be known postulate. That's what it is. It isn't anything mystical. Physicists in modern science have come up with a phenomenon called the black hole in space, where objects disappear into this thing which seems to be a bottomless pit. Well, now, whether these things exist in the physical universe, they probably do. They may be a manifestation of the bubble phenomenon in the actual universe of physics, in the actual real universe in present time, in the galaxy in present time. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they are there. So we do have the manifestation of the bubble still floating along in the universe in present time. It hasn't left us, it's still with us. It's the phenomenon of the bubble, and it's known in the subject of physics as a black hole. There's the black hole. So there, that ties the ends up on the subject of the bubble. The only thing left now is to ask, does any of this modify in any way our technology regarding the bubble? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. We just have to realise that the junior universe of a vacuum is a vacuum is a non-existence by definition. If you look up the word vacuum in the dictionary, you'll find that it's defined as a non-existence of a mass. So the term vacuum and non-existence are pretty well synonymous. So be very careful that when erasing a vacuum from the mind, it will erase, it can be made the subject matter of the null to know goals package at level 5C bubbles, and it will erase as such in that goals package. The junior universe of the junior universe of a vacuum cannot be erased as the subject matter of the to know goals package at level 5C, because the vacuum is a non-existence. It has to be made the subject matter of the null to know goals package at level 5C bubbles. The mass, just in to round it all up, the mass, the actual mass of the bubble, the actual sensation mass that surrounds the bubble, that can be made, because it's an existence, that can be made the subject matter of the to know goals package at level 5C. So the bubble, the junior universe of bubble, that's just the sensation mass, can be raised from the mind at level 5, can be raised from the mind by making it the subject matter of the to know goals package at level 5C. But that won't break the phenomena down. The inside the bubble is the non-existence there, and that you have to erase the bubble phenomena. You must erase the junior universe of non-existence, making it the subject matter of the null to know goals package at level 5C bubbles, as I've already mentioned on the earlier tape. So all we really have to do is just to be aware that be very careful when dealing with this junior universe of the vacuum, that you'll have to treat the junior universe of a vacuum, treat it as a synonym for the junior universe of non-existence, and use it and erase it within the confines of the null to no goals package, and you'll be fine. It erases like a lamb. It does. Once you've erased the null to no goals package at level five at level 5C bubbles. None of this material has any charge in it at all. It's all as dead as a mackerel. It doesn't raise a flicker on my bank. None of it does. Not a flicker. Even during the correlation and playing with it, there's just simply not a flicker. The whole secret is to erase the junior universe of non-existence in the null to no goals package. Once you've got that nulled down and erased, then the whole subject of bubbles is dead. It's just deader than a piece of dead mutton. It is as far as charge is concerned. Right, well, that wraps up the subject there. Wraps up the subject, bubbles.
Next, I want to give you some additional data on the subject of sex. I wanted to include this in the original tape, but unfortunately the spool wasn't long enough, and I had to leave it off. And as it was the least important of the material, this was the material that got deleted. Well, now I'm on a new tape, and I've got a bit of tape to spare here. I can give you this new material. This is the material on the subject of GOPS. Now, these GOPS is the initials of gender obsessive postulate situation. Gender obsessive postulate situation. It's a rather clumsy term, and but nevertheless, it's the best descriptive term of the phenomena that I know of, without going into vast complexities of material which I haven't yet introduced, and don't want to introduce at this stage because my research isn't complete on it. So we'll call it a GOPS at this stage. Later on, if I complete my research on this material, I'll call it something else. But at this stage, we'll call it a GOPS. Now, an almost universal sexual problem that human beings have is, and this applies to both males and females, is puzzlement as to whether a particular sexual activity that they engage in, one that they use to derive sexual sensation, whether this is a masculine or a feminine activity. And it can be very, very puzzling. When one considers the almost infinite variety of sexual quirks and so forth that the human mind is capable of producing, it's no surprise that this puzzlement occurs amongst human beings. The problem arises when the person gets involved in some sexual activity which they find sexually stimulating, and then the activity may not appear to be to match their gender completely. So they say to themselves, well, is this, am I out of gender? You know, the male might say, well, I'm engaging in this activity, is this a homosexual activity? And if so, if it is a homosexual activity, then therefore, if I'm engaging in this activity, I'm a sort of secret homosexual. And he starts to worry about it, and he can't resolve it. So the whole thing becomes a sort of an unresolved problem and sits there in his mind as an unresolved problem. You see how this could be. Well, it's only because of the vast number of sexual quirks that occur on the subject of sex. There's more sexual quirks than there are quirks on any other of the goals packages, you know. There's a vast number of sexual quirks that human beings are capable of. Well, fortunately, in this technology, it's very easy to resolve this problem once and for all. We can take any quirk in the human psyche, any conceivable quirk in the human psyche that generates, which is a behaviour which generates sexual sensation, and we can determine with utter certainty whether this is a masculine pursuit or whether it's a feminine pursuit. And this is the subject of the GOPS, the gender obsessive postulate situation. Now, if you recall on the earlier tape on the subject of the to sex goals package, I mentioned that, almost briefly in passing, I mentioned that the male goes into sexual orgasm when he drives the female from mustn't be sexed into must be sexed. And the female
goes into sexual orgasm when she drives the male from mustn't sex in to must sex. You remember that material? It's on the earlier tape there. It's a question of the male deprives the female of her mustn't be sex postulate and drives her into must be sex, and thereby goes into orgasm. The female, her orgasm is depriving the male of his mustn't sex postulate and thereby driving him into must sex. And that's her orgasmic situation. Now, these orgasmic situations are the peak intensity of sexual sensation. So this particular postulate figuration, this particular postulate situation becomes obsessive to the gender. That's the essence of what I'm getting at here. Why I call it a gender obsessive postulate situation. The male becomes obsessed with activities that deprive another person, whether a male or a female, that deprive another person of their mustn't be sex postulate and drives them into must be sex. He becomes obsessed with this postulate configuration, with this postulate situation. Similarly, the female becomes obsessed with the postulate situation where she is depriving another, whether a male or a female, of their mustn't sex postulate and driving them into must sex. In other words, these situations, these GOPS situations, become associated in the mind with peak sexual sensation. You see that? And equally importantly, they're quite distinctive. They're quite distinctive. The male has no interest in the GOPS of driving a person from mustn't sex into must sex. He simply leaves him cold. He simply doesn't generate any sexual sensation for him in that situation. It's not a peak sexual experience for him at all. Yet that same situation is very, very significant to the female. You see that? Similarly with the female. To the female, the situation of mustn't be sex being driven into must be sex leaves her completely cold. You see that? There's no significance for her at all. So these situations are distinctive of gender. We can separate gender, in other words, by the sexual quirk that the person has and is using to generate sexual sensation. Or it could need to be a sexual quirk. It can be just ordinary straight sexual relationship, normal sexual relationships. They're separated out too. I see I'm getting to the end of this tape, so we'll switch over to the other side of the spool, run it onto the end, and we'll be up on the other side. There we are, back on the other side, same date. So this is of tremendous value to us on the subject of sexuality. All we have to do is to know what the sexual situation is that the person is engaged in, which they're using to derive sexual sensation. Note its postulate structure in terms of the sexual postulates of the sex goals package. In other words, see what sort of a sexual situation it is, what sort of a situation it is. And once we've spotted it, we know it's going to be one or the other. It's going to be one of those two. It can't be anything else. See, the person's either in a male universe or he's in a female universe. If he's in a male universe, it's the male GOPS. And if the person's in the feminine universe, the person's in the feminine universe, it's going to be the female GOPS. The only evaluation required is to take the situation and see which. And interpret it in terms of the sexual postulates of the sex goals package. You see that? But that's not difficult, you know. If you know the postulates, there, you can even see at a glance. It never poses any difficulty. Never poses any difficulty at all. I'll give you an example of this that will clarify the situation. I had a pre-clear once many, many years ago in London that that had a sexual quirk to do with wearing Wellington boots. And he used to get sexually aroused if females were wearing Wellington boots. It used to give him an erection, and he used to get sexual arousal. And he was always pestering his girlfriends to wear Wellington boots. Well, this was fine. The only trouble was that he himself, if he wore Wellington boots himself, he again would get sexually aroused. And it used to, the problem was it used to worry him as to whether he was masculine or feminine. He didn't know whether it was a masculine quirk or whether it was a feminine quirk. He didn't know whether he was a homosexual or not. That was the main worry. He enjoyed his little game with the Wellington boots. That wasn't what was bothering him. What was bothering him was he didn't know whether he was in his male universe, where he reckoned he ought to be, or whether he was in the feminine universe, where he decided he didn't ought to be. Well, now, we could solve this right away. The person could solve this right away there. Quite obviously, the female wears the Wellington boots. If he wears the Wellington boots, he's the female. But look, it's still the male getting the sexual arousal. So the Wellington boots in some way must be associated with the male orgasm. You see, that's the male going, pushing the female through from mustn't be sex into must be sex. So wearing the Wellington boots must, in his mind, I didn't know much about sex in those days. I didn't pursue it all that far, you know. We more or less were running engrams in those days on the subject. We weren't examining this prostate structure. I mean, I could take it apart easily now. I can't tell you any more than just the barest details of it, but essentially it would be a male activity, simply because of this consideration. The female is more easily sexable when she was wearing Wellington boots. It made her more sexable, or more sexy, or more amenable to sex. That was definitely, I recall him telling me that was definitely a part of it there, that it made her more amenable to sex. So there we are, that somehow wearing the Wellington boots was depriving the female of her mustn't be sex postulate. So therefore it's a male GOPS, therefore he was a male, he was in the male universe. You see how you could evaluate this? Now, this can go to quite extreme limits, this evaluation can. How about a male who derives sexual pleasure from being raped by another male? It gives him an erection. How about that? Now, which universe is he in? Is he a male or is he a female? Is he in the male universe or is he in the female universe? He's in the male universe. He's not in the female universe. Why? Why is that? Well, the GOPS, the gender obsessive postulate situation that is giving him the sexual thrill, giving him the erection, is a person being driven from mustn't be sexed into must be sexed, which is the male GOPS. You see that? The fact that his body is being driven through from mustn't be sexed into must be sexed, he's got nothing to do with it. He's not occupying that side of his body when it's happening, you see. He's occupying the other side, deriving the sexual pleasure, occupying the male side of his body during the sexual assault, and enjoying the sexual sensation as a male would enjoy it. You see that? So he's in the male universe at that point. See, it's not difficult to sort it out. It's simply a question of which of the GOPS is the one which is sexually stimulating to the person, and that determines their gender. Now, I'll give you an example of a male that's in a female universe. We have the case of a male who wears feminine clothes in order to sexually arouse other males. Now, here, the GOPS, he's driving other males from mustn't sex into must sex. In other words, he's trying to deprive them of their postulate to not sex. trying to force them to sex, you see, by wearing feminine clothes. So this male is in the feminine universe. He's being stimulated by, naturally, because he's in the feminine universe, he's being sexually stimulated by a feminine GOPS. You see? Take some feminine examples. Let's take the example of a mother who has a queer sexual perversion, who derives sexual sensation, sexual pleasure from dressing her son in female clothes. Now, what universe does that put her into? Well, it puts her into the male universe. It's a male GOPS situation because she's driving her son from mustn't be sexed into must be sexed by making him wear feminine clothes. So therefore, she's in the male universe. So it's a male universe GOPS situation. On the other hand, a mother with a sexual quirk where she derives sexual sensation from dressing her daughter in boy's clothes would be in the female universe. Now, why would that be? Well, by dressing her daughter in boy's clothes, she's driving the daughter into a must sex situation. She's masculinizing him, you see, driving the daughter from mustn't sex into must sex by forcing her to adopt all these male gender symbols. So therefore, it's a feminine GOPS situation, and she's in the feminine universe when she practices this perversion. You see, they can all be sorted out, Greg. There aren't any. I think I've given you enough examples here now to see that it doesn't matter how peculiar the perversion, and providing it the person derives sexual sensation from the perversion, you can always determine which GOPS it is, and thereby determine which universe, whether male or female, the person is in. So that's the mechanism of the GOPS. It's a very, very valuable mechanism. It's something that any sexual therapist would give his back teeth to know about. You know, I mean, it solves so many problems instantly. It's an instant solution to so many human sexual problems. Finally, on this little section on the subject of sex, I'd like to anticipate some questions I'm likely to be asked on this subject of whether there's any use of the bubble technology in the erasure of the to sex goals package. Well, the answer is no. Even though we have a situation where we have a male with male sex cells and no female sex cells, and female body with female sex cells and no male sex cells, I've thoroughly researched this whole area in terms of bubbles. And the answer is no. There's no bubble situation that I've come across on the subject of sex. In other words, the sex goals package will erase without using the bubble technology on the subject of sex cells. There's absolutely no there's no point in it. It wouldn't be technically wrong to address the junior universe of no male sex cells within the null to no goals package, or the junior universe of no female sex cells within the null to no goals package. It wouldn't be technically an error to do so, but I've never come across a situation where we're required to do so. And certainly one wouldn't dream of doing so until one had erased the general junior universe of non-existence within the null to no goals package. But anyway, as I say, there's no I haven't come across any need to do this. I've thoroughly researched this whole subject of bubbles in relationship to sex there. And it's a dead end. It really is. It's a dead end. It was very promising when I first came across it. I thought, well, this will be an absolutely fertile ground for bubbles. And it isn't. It isn't. It's a dead end. So don't, there's no point in it. There's no future in it. And although you can certainly erase those null universes if you of no female sex cells and no male sex cells if you want to, but I don't think you'll get anything out of it. It's a dead end. So I thought I mentioned this in passing to answer a question which I might be asked in future on the subject of the relationship of bubble technology and the erasure of the sex goals back. The answer is, it's not necessary. We don't need to back up our bubble technology on the subject of to erase the sex goals package regarding sex cells or any. However, there are some conceivable games people might play with gender symbols and the absence of gender symbols, where you could use the bubble technology. The person gets involved in playing games with the absence of gender symbols. But look, this material is not necessary to run in order to erase the sex goals package. The sex goals package will erase quite independently of the subject of gender symbols, as I mentioned to you on the main tape. You know, it's the other way around, that you won't erase gender symbols until you've erased the sex goals package. So, although you may use the bubble technology, you may have need for the bubble technology on the subject of gender symbols, on playing games to do with the non-existence of gender symbols, it doesn't apply on the sex cells game, which is the game associated with the erasure of the general to sex goals package in therapy. So I hope that will answer up any questions that answer the questions that haven't arrived yet, but that undoubtedly may arise in the future. Okay, so much for that.
Third and final thing I want to take up on this tape is the subject of identity and purposes, and to wrap up the subject of level 5C. Well, the first thing we need to know about an identity is, of course, that it is a junior universe. That the class of identities are within the class of junior universes. It's a type of junior universe. It's an identity. The only difference we see between the idea of an identity and the idea of a junior universe is that the identity we usually consider as being alive, whereas the main class of junior universe consists of both live and non-life objects, entities. Okay, now it's very, very one of the propositions that a person finds very difficult, or some people find very difficult to grasp, is that a junior universe, and that includes identities, of course, only consists of purposes. It's very, very difficult for some people to grasp this. They think that there's something else there. In other words, the great illusion in this universe is that a junior universe, identities, etc., consists of other things than postulates. Or if they do consist of postulates, they consist of postulates plus other things. Well, this just isn't so. The junior universe only consists of postulates. This isn't just an idle speculation. I can actually prove this statement, because in my research, on many occasions, I've erased postulates from the mind and discovered that junior universes are erased too. For example, the junior universe of masculinity consists of, and only consists of, the postulate to sex and the postulate to not sex. Now, how do I know this to be so? Well, simply because when you erase the sex goals package, which two of the four postulates of the sex goals package are the postulate to sex and the postulate to not sex, so when you erase this sex goals package, you find that the junior universe of masculinity has erased too. Now, if the junior universe of masculinity consists of other things than those two postulates, then there would be a residue left after the sex goals package is erased, wouldn't there? But there is no residue. When you come to test the junior universe of masculinity at level 5C after you've erased the sex goals package, you find there's absolutely nothing there. It's gone. It's erased. It went. when you erase the sex goals package. Similarly with the junior universe of femininity, which only consists of the two postulates, to be sexed and to not be sexed. That too erases when the sex goals package erases, proving that it only consists of those two postulates. So I'm on very firm ground when I say this. It's not just an idle opinion. I'm on very, very firm ground. So our very first principle to do with level 5C would tell us the royal road to erasing junior universes at level 5C is to erase, first of all, or null, and first of all, null down the to no goals package at level 5A as far as we can, and then to get stuck into the level 5B and collapse or erase as many junior goals packages as we can at level 5B. And only then to even start looking, even considering going on to level 5C. You see, there's a very good reason why step 5B precedes step 5C in the procedure. Step 5C simply doesn't run until you run step 5B. And we see why it won't run. Because the junior universe at level 5C consists of the postulates. They consist of postulates. In fact, the only junior universes that will hang fire, that you'll find at level 5C that are hanging fire, are those which have got postulates in them to do with junior goals packages which as yet have not been erased or collapsed at level 5B. All the rest of the charge would have gone off of them and they would have erased, you see. And as you're picking up these junior universes at level 5C on the basis of interest, your interest will naturally go to the ones which are unerased. So you're picking them up there, and they won't erase. They haven't erased. The only reason they haven't erased is because the purpose is a hanging fire in unerased and uncollapsed goals packages at level 5B. And why are these goals packages, these junior goals packages, hanging fire at level 5B? Why didn't they erase at level 5A? Well, they didn't erase at level 5A because you consider them, the person considers them to be their purposes of these junior goals packages, he considers their purposes to be independent of the four legs of the general to no goals package. If the person considered the purpose of the junior goals package to be within the purposes of the general to no goals package, of course then the junior goals package will collapse and erase when you're nulling at level 5A. You see that? Or to put it another way, when you finally erase the to no goals package, all the junior universes will have been erased at level 5B, and the junior goals packages at level 5B have been erased, and all the junior universes at level 5C have been erased. So when you finally do erase the to no goals package at level 5A, there isn't anything left at 5B to erase, and there's nothing left at 5C to erase. Follow that? The theory behind this is very, very simple. Very, very, very simple. I'm giving it to you here. If you can grasp it, you'll get the whole thing and you'll have no trouble on level 5A, 5B and 5C. But if you don't get it, you'll struggle. So your procedures, you start in at 5A, you null 5A down as far as you go, as far as you can. It may go through the erasure, it fine, marvellous. If it does, then you won't have to do anything at level 5B or level 5C. But with the vast majority of people, it will hang fire, it will null down and then stop. Well, that's the point. You leave 5A then and go on to 5B. You say to yourself, right, I've got some junior goals package which I consider independent of the to no goals package. And you find them at level 5B on the basis, first of all, of basis of interest. But you select them off the prepared list I've given you. I've given you a list of the most important, the junior goals package at level 5B. You select off that list initially till you've exhausted that list. And there's nothing on that list which is of any further interest to you. Then, when you every time you collapse or erase a junior universe at level 5B, sorry, every time you erase or collapse a junior goals package at level 5B, you always go back and re-null that a no goals package at level 5A. You must mop up that extra charge. So backwards and forwards you go. When you can't find anything on the prepared list I've given you, then you can there's still some charge around. You can then start looking for junior goals packages of your own if you want to. I've given you how you can find them and how you can find if they're erasable or not. But finally, you're going to get to a point on level 5B where you can't find any more junior goals packages of any significance. It's all gone very, very quiet, but the to no goals package still won't go through to erase it. Right, that means you're now finished with 5B temporarily. You've got to go on to 5C now. So you go on to 5C, and on the basis of interest, you find a junior universe. Now the first thing you do with the junior universe is run it, make it the subject matter of the to no goals package at level 5C. That's the first thing you do. If it erases, fine. That's fine, you finish with that one. Then re-null the basic to no goals package at level 5A. Every time you erase a junior universe at level 5C, you always re-null the to no goals package at level 5A. You must do this to mop up your charge, otherwise you'll keep building up charge on the basic package, which will stop you in your tracks eventually. You've got to keep that basic package nulled. But sooner or later at 5C, you're going to come up against one. You try it at level 5C and it won't, it just grinds on. You make it the subject matter of the to no goals package and you can't erase it. And so, right, what do you do then? Well, you say to yourself, it must contain, this junior universe must consist of some purposes which belong in an unerased or uncollapsed junior goals package at level 5B. And it's up to you to find out where it is. So what you sit down and just list off the purposes and functions of this junior universe that is hanging fire. Just list them off. Just write down a bit of paper if you want to. Then you pick the most important, this is the test, the most important of these functions or purposes. And use that. You say, right, well, there you've got this purpose now. Now you're going to find the goals package. You've got to find a goals package at level 5B and formulate that purpose into a goals package at level 5B. Or if you do so and it's unerasable, then you've got to find an erasable one. I've given you that technology of how to do that, so I won't repeat that again. You've got to find an erasable goals package at level 5B that's hanging fire, that contains the purpose of the hanging fire junior universe at level 5C. You see that? Then, having found it, you erase or collapse that junior goals package at level 5B. And as soon as you erase or collapse that junior goals package at level 5B, you immediately go back to 5A and renail the basic package. Then go back to 5C and have another look at your junior universe. You now test that junior universe once more back in the basic package. It may go through to erasure now. If it doesn't, then okay, go back to your list of its functions, its purposes, find another purpose, then find another junior goals package at level 5B. And do the same procedure again. Erase that or collapse that. Then go back and renull the to no goals package at level 5A. Then back to your your junior universe at level 5C and retest it within the no goals package. All the time you're nibbling at it, you see. Every time you're nibbling at it, you're breaking it down, breaking its purposes down, erasing its purposes. Eventually there'll be nothing left. It'll just fall apart. There'll be nothing there. Now that's the way you do level 5C. The key datum here, bear in mind at all times that every time you erase or collapse a junior goals package at 5B, or every time you erase a junior universe at level 5C, you must, repeat, must go back to level 5A and renull the basic package. That is vitally important. Otherwise you'll be just leaving yourself with charge on that basic package. Your therapy will grind to a shuddering halt. It will. Got to keep that basic package at level 5A nulled down. Then one day, you'll go back to the basic package to re-null it down, and it will go straight through to erasure. All of them have gone now. All of your junior universes have gone, and all your junior goals packages have gone, and your basic packages have gone. The whole lot's gone, and none of it will show on any meter. It's all gone now. The whole lot's gone. You won't be able to find any goals packages or any junior universes that will move an e-meter in the slightest. You've done it. You've got there. Okay? You've now completed level 5. Well, that's the routine. That's the way you do it. So I see I'm getting to the end of this tape. I wish you good luck on level 5C. And bye-bye for now.